Well, may God help us. Let's read in Ephesians 4, verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of or due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old man or old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new man, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to get right to the point this morning. There is a way. We've been looking at this for a number of weeks. We're going to camp here a little bit longer. There's a way that Gentiles walk. There's a way that this is a family series, but brothers and sisters, there is a way Gentiles live in family. And there is a way people live in family who are not Gentiles. And that's you know, all this is leading up to the things that Paul says about family and there in Ephesians 5. But these are foundational statements. There's a way Gentiles walk. It involves futility, darkness, alienation, ignorance, hardness, callousness, sensuality. All that characterizes the Gentile walk. And there's a way Christians are to walk, and it's not like Gentiles walk. You see that? So Paul testifies in the Lord, I mean by the power and the authority of the Lord, that we Christians are to stop walking that way. We must put off our old man, which belongs to our former manner of life and is corrupt. Paul is dead serious about this, and so too should we. So, on the authority of God's Word, one of the things that characterizes the Gentile and characterized our former manner of life, you and me. I mean, it's not just that it characterizes the Gentiles. The thing is, if we're in this room and we're saved, we used to be these Gentiles, and this is characteristic of our former manner of life as well. And it's something that Paul's telling us here that we need to put away and be done with. And what is it? I'm alluding to this. Hardness of heart. You can see those words right there at the end of verse 18. Look there. Look at the end of verse 18. Hardness of heart. Hardness of their heart. Yes, I know if you have the King James Version, it translates blindness of heart. But look, in the Greek language, there is terminology used for blindness, for just being blind in the eyes. That's not the word being used here. It's not that. I mean, let's turn over to Mark 3. I want to show you this word used in another context that comes out in every translation that any of you might have. I want to show you the same three words, hardness of heart, used here in Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. Now notice this very carefully. You may know the situation, be familiar with it. Jesus, He comes one day into the synagogue. There's a man who's there. You see that in verse 1. He's got a withered hand. Verse 2, you've got the Jews there. They're watching Jesus to see whether He's actually going to heal on the Sabbath so that they might have something to accuse Him with. Verse 3, He says to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And He said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, save life or to kill?" But they were silent. Verse 5, he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. Now, there's our three words. Hardness of heart. This isn't just that they can't see with their eyes. This is that they're obstinate in the heart. They're rebellious in the heart. They're hard-hearted. This is the same phrase. This is the same three words we get over there in Ephesians chapter 4. This isn't just a simple blindness. And he says, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out. His hand was restored. Verse 6, the Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. So now go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:18. Brethren, the two phrases are the same in both places. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who actually used the King James Version, states on page 66 of his commentary on Ephesians 4 that he believed it's quite wrong to translate this word as blindness. And the reason he gives is this. It's because this word does actually mean hardness, hardening. Now, it's true that, look, it's true spiritual blindness results where this hardness is, but literally, the word is somewhat of a medical term that has to do with being covered by a callus or a thick growth of skin. Now, someone might immediately notice, at least in the ESV and the NAS, that right there at the beginning of verse 19, the word callus actually shows up. Now, it's a different word, but both of them, hardness and the term callous, or in the King James, it's beyond feeling. Both of these words, although different, they both carry the idea of a callous. They both have that type of meaning. Now here's the thing. All of us, I think, most of us, we know what a callous is. When a man works hard with his hands, when he does physical labor, especially when he's touching things all the time that are rough, when somebody walks, you know, in certain countries, it's maybe the poverty level or whatever, they don't wear shoes. So you walk around all the time without shoes, you get calluses. You work hard with your hands, you get calluses. Basically a thick growth of skin. The skin becomes thick. That is a callus. That is exactly what the Apostle Paul is claiming the heart of the Gentiles is like. It's calloused. The covering. Brethren, this is where the covering or the lining, the surface of the heart becomes thick and hard and tough and fibrous. But of course, Paul's not talking about the organ that pumps in our chest. The heart of man. What do we mean when a man says to a lady, I love you with all my heart? Or what does Jesus mean when he says that the first and greatest of all commandments is that we love God with all our heart? It doesn't mean with the thing in our chest that pulsates. It means with the very center and the core of our affections and our emotions. It's the center of our personality. That's what it's all about. And what he's saying is, in the Gentile, that heart becomes covered with a thick growth of skin. And you know what happens when you get calloused? Take a needle and poke a callous, and what happens? You don't feel it. You see, the thing about callousness of heart is it becomes desensitized. Lack of sensitivity is what this word has to do. Both of these, hardness and callous. At the end of verse 18, the beginning of verse 19, that's the heart of the matter. Paul is saying, look, with the Gentiles, they are desensitized. They can't feel right. That's the idea, brethren. So, it's basically sensitivity is lost. The hard heart is a heart that is no longer sensitive to God. It's not sensitive to His commandments, to His truth, to His promises, to His works. It's hard, it's calloused, it's obstinate, it's stubborn. Paul says the Gentile heart is exactly like that, and he implores us in the name of the living Christ, no longer, brethren, no longer. And who knows what degree of hardness of heart some of you have had coming in here today. And I mean those of you that have truly been converted. I know the lost among us are hard. But Christian, what we're hearing here is a word from God. This, remember, this is the word of the living God. God is sending you a message today. I don't like hardness in your heart. I want it gone. I sent my apostle to tell you to get it out. No longer. Put it off. That belongs to your former manner of life. Get the hardness out. That is not the way you've learned Christ. Brethren, may the living God give us an ability to sense this, to determine, to see this for what it is. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Hardness. Now think with me here. Hardness. Hardness by its very nature is what? It's hard. Right? Its very nature is to be thick and dense and unfeeling. Where there is hardness, there is consequently an absence of sensitivity. Where there is a callus, the nerves no longer feel, they no longer sense as they should. So what Paul is actually doing in Ephesians 4:18, he's calling upon us Christians to sense and recognize in ourselves an absence of sensitivity. But you think about that. How are we supposed to sense an absence of sensitivity? I mean, isn't that almost like telling a blind man, go look in the mirror and see if your eye's blind? And he goes over to the mirror and he's saying, I don't see that it's blind. Isn't that almost the same thing? It's almost a contradiction of terms. If I have an absence of sensitivity due to a hardness of heart, doesn't that very absence of sensitivity prevent me from finding what I'm looking for? If one of you has come in here with a thick heart this morning, and here I am preaching on it, aren't you the most likely one to go right out that door and say, I didn't feel anything. I had no sensitivity to that message. I must not have been applicable to me because I didn't feel anything. I mean, right? You take the guy that's like a brick worker or something. He works his whole life and he's got these big, thick, calloused hands. And if you tell him, look, take one of your big, thick, calloused hands and reach over and feel your other hand to see if you have big, thick calluses on the other one. And he kind of reaches over there and he says, I don't feel anything, I guess not. You see, that doesn't work because he just used a hand that's all thickly calloused to try to find out if he's got a callus. You see what I'm saying? So how do we get to what's real? I mean, that's where we need to be. If we're going to put off this, we got to get to the place where we see things as they are. We got to get to what's real. How do we see hardness? How are you and I supposed to recognize it in order to no longer walk in it? And brethren, I can tell you that's a difficult question. But here's my response. I know there are other responses. You know, one of the things is we're supposed to exhort one another that we not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You know, the guy with the big old thick calluses on his hand, if somebody comes along without big thick calluses on their hand and they begin to feel and they say, you know what, I do sense calluses on this hand. That's one way. We live in community. We have a responsibility to one another. You see a brother or sister that's hard. You know, brethren, we ought to rebuke one another for words that are hard, for actions that are hard. Not just when you see something that you know, it's a certain action that you can very plainly identify. There are attitudes, brethren, that we ought to rebuke one another and we ought to point out and exhort one another about. But you know what, in the end of all of it, here's the thing. Even that brother doing the exhorting to the other brother, if he's exhorting him but the brother's hard, he may be insensitive to the exhortation. So, you know what? My final trust in all of this comes down to the Lord. And you know why? Because he had something to say about this. Listen to this. Don't turn there, but you know the text. If you don't, just listen. Ezekiel 36:26. This is what God says. And brethren, this text is alive. It is powerful this very day. God says, I will give you a new heart. This is what he says about his people. A new spirit will I put within you. And God promises this, I will remove the heart of stone. You got a hard heart? My trust this morning is this. God's taken it out of you if you belong to him. And so my trust is just like Paul's was. You know what? Paul realized he was up against the same thing. But Paul realized this. Speak the word of God and then trust God's going to take it and soften those hearts and get in there and show and reveal what needs to be shown and revealed. And so that's where I'm coming from this morning. He says, I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. He promises a heart of flesh. And by flesh, he doesn't mean that evil part of our nature. He means flesh in opposition to stone. The opposite of stone. Stone is hard. It's just hard. Flesh is soft. It's tender. That's the idea. And what he's saying is, I'm going to come to my people and I'm going to put tenderness in my people. I'm going to give them a heart that is soft. I'm going to do this. And you know what? I say, Father, come and do that. You promised it. This is your word. You spoke it. You are the God who cannot lie. And I'm going to preach this morning. I'm going to leave it to you to come and break through and handle that. So my trust is in him. There may be some of you here today, hard, unfeeling man, woman, not able to sense his own hardness. But I do trust there's a God in Israel who is able to take your heart, the thickest, most fibrous, callous heart of any of you, and make it into something it right now is not. So, let's look at hardness for what it is. I want you to think about this. Brethren, one of the most, you know, I look through. What I did was I searched. You got that word hardness and you have that word callous there in verses 18 and 19. Well, I searched every use of those two words everywhere. But then I also went through and I just searched every English word, hard, hardness, hardened, that's anywhere in the Bible. Brethren, I'll tell you this. One of the most glaring facts that jumped off the pages of Scripture at me is this. Hardness, all throughout the Bible, is almost exclusively a word that God associates with the lost man. Almost exclusively. So the point I'm bringing out there is, brethren, hardness of heart is the dress of the Gentile. Paul hits it dead on the head. He's consistent with everything else that the Scripture says about hardness. Listen to this. Because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. It is the trademark, the hallmark characteristic of the lost man. Hardness of heart, and because of that hardness, they are storing up wrath against themselves. Brethren, I'll tell you this, hardness in the heart is not a thing to take lightly. It's not a thing to laugh at. It is a thing for which they, men, women, children, are storing up the very wrath of God against them. Not a small thing. And clearly, that's speaking of lost folks. But among the dozens and dozens and dozens of times the concept of hardness shows up in our Bibles, I find only three places, and they're all in Mark, but only three places where the concept of hardness is ascribed to Christians. Only three. What that means to me is when God looks down upon man, hardness of heart, brethren, is just not befitting clothing for the holy children of God. Bottom line. I want you guys to think about this. Just think of those folks in the Bible that are most characterized as being robed with this hard, stony robe. And they don't turn out to be people we want to imitate. Who's the crowned king of hardness in the Bible? Pharaoh. Unmistakably, 18 times from Exodus 4 to Exodus 14, the hardness of Pharaoh's heart is mentioned. Nobody even comes close to that in the Scriptures as being identified as being hard. So Pharaoh is basically your arch-Gentile. He is the, you know, he's, like I say, the crowned king of all the hard Gentiles. So here's the thing, Christian, if you come along and you're allowing some insensitivity and some hardness in your heart, brethren, I'll tell you this, it's Pharaoh-like. That is not somebody you want to be like. It means you bear a resemblance to that guy. God says, God comes along, says to Moses, Moses, you go in there to Egypt and you tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses obeys the Lord. He walks in there. He comes in before Pharaoh and he says, Pharaoh, the Lord says, let my people go. You remember what his words were? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go. Over and over and over again, we get this. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Pharaoh's heart remained hardened. Pharaoh hardened his heart. God says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Brethren, you know what he does then? God turns the Nile to blood. But what happens? What does Pharaoh do? Come on, that's not a small thing. I mean, you guys go do that. You guys go out to Calaveras Lake or Lake Braunig or up to Canyon Lake and turn it into blood. That's not easy. I can't do it. You can't do it. That's pretty miraculous. Now, I know that even the Egyptians were able to imitate it, but it was still supernatural. I mean, that's a pretty big thing. I mean, you would think if somebody went out to one of these lakes and did that, it'd probably be on the news, right? Probably get some attention. Why? Because it's of the order of miraculous. You see, the whole problem here is Pharaoh, he's watching what God does. He watches him do something on the level of miraculous, and then he says, I'm not going to let your people go. In other words, you know what the attitude of his heart still was, even after seeing it? If he's still saying, I'm not going to let your people go, I'm not going to let these people out of here, he's still saying, who is the Lord? I'm not impressed. In other words, brethren, this is our arch type of hard-heartedness. And what it means is insensitivity. Here it is. At such a time when a man ought to be affected, a man ought to feel something, when God Almighty, by the very finger of God, turns a river into blood, what God expects is man ought to feel something. But it's desensitized. He didn't feel anything. Oh, what's that? Israel, you stay here. I don't fear. I don't dread. I'm not in awe. I'm not filled with wonder. Brethren, that's hardness of heart. That's what we see in Pharaoh. I mean, think about it. Then the Lord sends frogs, then gnats, then flies, then plague, then boils, then hail, then locusts, darkness. And the thing is, all the time, he's only doing it on Egypt. He's not doing it on Israel. And after all that, you would think something would get through to the man's heart. Still desensitized. Nope, they're not going. Stay here. I mean, he puts them to harder work. You're lazy. You got too much time on your hands. You got to find your own straw now. You see, what God is doing in the world is not penetrating. It's not getting through. That's the idea. Can you guys imagine? Have you ever thought about this? Even when all the firstborn were killed, they're all wiped out. And now he goes after. Pharaoh takes his troops And he goes after Israel. And now here they're coming along. Can you imagine coming through the wilderness and all of a sudden there's Israel? But whoa, there's this great big column of fire that separates you. You might say, that looks dangerous. Maybe we ought not to touch these people. And then the Red Sea parts. I mean, can you imagine? They're actually going in there with walls of water on both sides after the people that are being protected by this God that's holding the walls of water back. Brethren, that is hard. I mean, isn't it? Have you ever thought about that? That's insanity. I'm going to try to kill or at least bring back into bondage people that are being protected by a God that can stand and separate us by a pillar of fire, can separate seas, and still I feel nothing in my heart that tells me, danger, danger, don't do this. Right? Now, brethren, I realize this is the example of all examples. But I'll tell you what, even as a Christian, if you've got hardness in your heart, I'll tell you what, it bears tremendous resemblance. Oh, it may be on a different scale. You may not be out trying to put all of God's 2 million people or whatever back into bondage. But I'll tell you something, when God looks at your heart, that heart doesn't look a whole lot different. That characteristic there, it's the same. Who else? Tell me somebody else in the Bible that is notorious for their hardness. Saul? Who? Pharisees. But somebody even more incredible. Somebody that's actually in the same picture with Pharaoh. Who he's chasing. It's phenomenal. Here you have the very people being delivered out of Egypt. And the writer to the Hebrews sets them up as the example that you and I do not want to imitate. And you know what's amazing? He doesn't set Pharaoh up as the one not to imitate. He sets Israel up as the one to not imitate. Listen to these folks. Hebrews 3:8. You don't have to turn there, but listen. Do not harden. Here it is again. Hardened hearts. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. What's that? The rebellion? There's one thing about a hard heart. It's rebellious. There was a rebellion. On the day of testing in the wilderness where your fathers put me to the test. Now listen to this. And saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. That's another thing. A hard heart is a heart that is rebellious. It is also a heart that has gone astray. They have not known my ways, and as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. You know, you think about all those plagues that the Egyptians saw, but think about the Israelites. They're the ones being delivered. They saw the pillar of fire. They saw the pillar of cloud in the daytime. They saw the Red Sea part. They saw manna come down from heaven. They heard the voice of God thunder from Sinai. They saw water come out of the rock. They saw His works for 40 years. Again, nothing got through. Doesn't it just astound you that one day, now I don't know what the time period of all this looked like, but isn't it amazing? One day He causes manna to come and quails to fly in and water to come out of a rock, and it's like the very next day they're complaining again. They see when Moses holds up his arms, Amalek's defeated. And yet it's like the next enemy comes along and, oh, would to God we had died here, gone there, we were somewhere else, or Moses, why have you done this? Constant. Oh, we've looked in there. We sent the spies in. Ton of them come back. Evil report. We can't go in against them. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. And all the time, God has done all these miracles. But totally, it didn't get through. It didn't. There was no sensitivity. Brethren, I'll tell you this. A whole generation died in that wilderness in unbelief, and they perished. Hard hearts. Caleb and Joshua went in. Hard. Hard. They're the ones that are set up as the example. Don't be like that. Now somebody threw out the Pharisees. Brethren, as much as they saw these things for 40 years, you know what the Pharisees saw? Can you imagine this? Can you imagine, brethren, can you imagine? These Jews walked the same streets with Jesus. I mean, they got to see Him. He wasn't just thundering in a voice from Sinai. He wasn't just represented before them by fire. He comes robed in flesh. He comes into the synagogue. Can you imagine? They see Him. They're able to look Him in the eyes. They're able to see Him come in and hear His teaching and tell the guy with the withered hand, come on over. And you can see Christ came into this world to... He came here to heal man at the deepest need. He came to help us. He came to give us life. He came to forgive our sins. And, brethren, I'll tell you this. He came in the almighty power of God. And He could have used that power to jump buildings or to be some kind of divine human Superman and fly through the air. But He doesn't. He comes here and He shows us the very heart of God by bringing the almighty power of God to raise the dead and cast out demons and heal people and to show compassion to mankind. And here they are. They see it all right before their faces. Brethren, they left that place wanting to destroy Him. Can you imagine such a thing? Brethren, can you imagine that? Incarnate love Himself. Brethren, can you imagine standing in the presence of the King of the universe and you feel nothing? That's what was happening. They felt worse than nothing. They felt animosity. But that's hardness. We don't feel. Brethren, the thing is, can you imagine that? The truth is, yes, you can. And brethren, I'm talking to my brothers and sisters in this place. I'm not talking, yes, you can, because you remember what it was like to be lost. I'm talking about right now. You know what it is to have Christ set before you in beauty and splendor and majesty and to not feel it. You know what it is to be in, you know what it is to live life right now and be in a situation where you ought to feel something, be exposed to truth, be exposed to the work of God, and you don't feel it as you ought to feel it. You can identify with that. And so can I. Brethren, hardness of heart is dangerous because what happens is we don't see what God's doing. It's dangerous because when He comes and He whispers, we don't hear. Because we don't feel. Our senses, our spiritual sensitivity is destroyed. There's a thickness and you can't hear anymore. I'm talking about this slow creeping insensitivity to God's commandments. Do you remember how it was? I remember, brethren, when I was first saved. I can remember driving 55 and I was very meticulous not to let it go over. Why? Because I knew my Father in heaven had given a commandment to obey the commandments of men. And the authority of God was behind every one of those speed limit signs. And you see, what can happen is we're not so meticulous anymore. We're not so meticulous to obey as we first were. There's this slow, creeping, desensitizing. We can overlook little things that when we were first saved, we wouldn't have done. We wouldn't have gone there. Brethren, we can become desensitized to the works of God. It's a creeping unbelief. You know what can happen? I can tell this church over and over, brethren, God provided everything for every one of our ministries, every one of our benevolent needs, every one of the orphanages, every one of our missionaries. And you know what? You can become desensitized to that. You can be just like those Jews and say, manna? All we have to eat is this stinking manna? Faithful? God's been doing this to our church ever since the beginning. Faithful seems to me like it just happens. You see, that can happen. And that creeping hardness. Brethren, God is faithful. We need to watch. Brethren, I'm telling you, we need to watch the hardness. And hardness is hardness. It's not just like, well, you're hard towards your wife, but that doesn't affect anything else. Hardness affects everything. It affects our sensitivity. We no longer hear the whispers of God's voice the way we once did. We're no longer sensitive to God's works the way we once were. Sensitive to His workings in our midst. Sensitive to our faithfulness. Sensitive to His commandments. We can get to where we read the Scriptures and, well, did you read your Bible today? Yeah, I read my Bible. Can't hardly remember anything in it. Why? Because the sensitivity is being lost. Where when we first came to it, it's like, wow! Wow! And the fleshy heart, the sensitive heart, the tender heart, everything impacted it. We felt it. We went around feeling everything. But we can become desensitized. Brother comes now and he's got a need as the church grows. It's just like, well, the church is growing and the needs are so many, I just can't even keep up with them. Well, it's nice, brother, that you got all these medical needs over there, but Lord bless you, and I hope you're filled. And, you know, that sounds like something I've heard before. Brethren, it's this creeping hardness that comes in. Insensitivity to the church. Well, you know, there was a time you wouldn't have thought about missing a service at all. Now, well, you know, Junior's got a sniffle, and we just can't make it today. The heart stiffens. It can stiffen. Even in the, brethren, I told you, almost the vast majority of the times this idea of hardness applies to the lost, to those that the wrath of God is upon, but three times to Christ's own disciples. You know what's amazing? It's like here they are, and Christ is walking on the water, and they're all terrified, and He comes over, and there's waves and wind, and He calms this thing. And you know what it says? It says there in Mark, it says they did not remember about the fish and the loaves because their hearts were hard. What does that have to do with Jesus walking on the water and a storm and Him? Brethren, we can be the same way. Life comes and you're all full of anxiety. Why? Because you don't remember the loaves and the fish. It was given to them to know just as it's given to you to know. That's why this book has been preserved. So that when difficulties and trials in life come, you're not throwing in the towel. You're not saying, woe is me. You're not all full of self-pity. You're not ready to abandon the race. You're not full of all sorts of unbelief. Brethren, it's hardness of heart. When you see the things that Jesus did, the things that God did, those things, by the way, are preserved that He did out there among Israel too, that you might believe. Brethren, it can creep in, this creeping unbelief, this creeping desensitivity, a creeping desensitized heart to the needs of the brethren. But brethren, I think it really, above all, we become desensitized to God. That's the real issue here. There's a stiffening, there's a hardness. Brethren, the Lord comes along in Jeremiah to a people who were once soft but have become hard. Oh, what application there is for us people of His today. But listen, it's almost as the Lord pleads with His people against hardness. Listen to what he says. May God use this to break in. Thus says the Lord. I'm not making this up. I remember the devotion of your heart. You guys remember a past day when you had greater devotion to God than you have right now? You see, devotion. Devotion to God. There's a sensitivity. When somebody's devoted to something, it means they're given to it. The focus of their life is in that direction. They're devoted. For a man to be devoted to one woman means he's putting his love primarily there as far as love for women go. It means he's going to care for her in a special way. He's going to regard her in a unique fashion. Brethren, what happens is I remember the devotion of your youth. There was a sensitivity to give themselves to God. Your love is a bride. Sensitivity to give themselves only to Him. How you followed me. A sensitivity to His leading. In a land not sown, sensitivity, brethren, to follow all His ways and commands. Israel was holy to the Lord. There's a sensitivity to being set apart. The first fruits of His harvest. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the clans of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your fathers find in me that they went far from me? Jeremiah 2:2-5. What did your fathers find in me that they left? Brothers and sisters, I ask you this. If there's any hardness in your heart, if there's been any drawing back from the presence of God, any drawing back from prayer, any drawing back from obedience to Him, do you not think He would ask the same thing? What have you found in Him? What defect, what wrong have you possibly found in Him? Brethren, we may not be hard like Pharaoh or the Christ-rejecting Jews, and yet when the Lord calls, brethren, when the Lord calls, if we hesitate to follow, we draw back. We procrastinate. You know what Paul says at the end of this when he says, no longer walk like the Gentiles, no longer walk like the hardness of these Gentiles. You know what he says? That's not the way you've learned Christ. Brethren, that's not the way we learn Christ. That's not it. Brethren, think about Him, how His heart jumped to be in communion with His Father. How His heart jumped to obey. His Father comes and says, this is My Son in whom I'm well pleased. You know why He's well pleased? Every time the Father said, My Son, His ear was there. There was no... Jesus is the example of absolute absence of hardness. Total tenderness. Total sensitivity. His Father can even come to Him and say, My Son, I'm going to press this cup of wrath to your lips. And though everything in Him recoils, He takes it at once. Brethren, that is the way we learn Christ. What wrong have we found in our God that our heart should not be soft in devotion to Him, soft with love, soft with obedience, tender to follow Him? Brethren, is it not true? You think about your own life. Do you not find that times come when you do hesitate, even when you hear His voice? You know the Lord wants you to do something, but you're procrastinating, you're resisting, you're holding back. Brethren, what is that? You know what it is? Who is the Lord that I should obey Him? Now, you may not say that, but if you know that the Lord is wanting something of you and you're not doing it, you're doing the... It may be on another scale, but you're like Pharaoh. Brethren, there should be no hesitation. Oh, I know we don't have the same discernment Christ had, and sometimes we have to wade through things a little bit longer to figure out in our own minds what God really wants. I understand that. But brethren, are we not all too often like the princess in the Song of Solomon? Chapter 5, My beloved is knocking. And her beloved was saying this, "Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one, for my head is wet with dew, my locks with the drops of the night." But here's what she says, "But I put off my garment. How could I put it on?" You see the reluctance? I've bathed my feet. How could I soil them? My beloved put his hand to the latch, and my heart was thrilled within me. But the thing was locked. She arose to open it to him. Her hands dripping with myrrh, fingers liquid myrrh on the handles of the bolt. I open. There's a bolt there, folks. And she didn't get up in time to open the bolt. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had turned and gone. My soul failed me when he spoke. I sought him, but found him not. I called him, but he gave no answer. Brethren, that's what happens when that hardness begins to creep in. And the Lord calls us. "Come, I want to sup with you. I want intimacy with you. I want fellowship with you." Calling us. We are his beloved. This is a picture of that. And yet there's a hesitation. And brethren, what blessings we lose because of the hardness. You're losing blessings in this life because of any degree of hardness in your heart, any reluctance, any holding back. Notice that hardness. Brethren, it's an awful thing when the Christian is reluctant and insensitive and hard to the advances of our beloved. The thing to ask is, where does this come from? I mean, how do we explain such a thing? Well, if your Bibles are still open to Ephesians 4:18, I want you to see something there. I want to show you where all this is coming from. I want to show you an explanation for the hardness. The clearest answer that I can see on all of this, I think we can see right here in the passage. Now look there at the end of 18. Due to the hardness of heart. Well, what's due to the hardness of heart? Or what's because of hardness of heart? Well, you back up one step, it's the ignorance that is in them. And you back up one step from that, it's alienation from the life of God. So you have this alienation from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. So on the one side of hardness, you have alienation from God. But what do you have on the other side? Now look at verse 19. They become callous, a word that basically he's kind of reiterating a very similar thought here. And have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. I want you to notice how hardness is the bridge between alienation and sensuality. And it makes sense. It really does. In other words, man hardens himself to the life of God. What can be known about God. What is true about God, real about God. His divine attributes, what's revealed. He hardens himself to that so that he may cross over into sensuality. Is this not true? I mean, is this not what we experienced in our own life when we were lost? If a man wants to enjoy his sin, he must harden himself to the life of God. He must harden himself to who God is. He must harden himself to God's laws, God's person, God's Son, God's gospel, God's judgments, God's hell, God's character. Folks, you remember? I brought this up last time. I've mentioned it a few times lately. But you guys remember Isaiah, right? There in Isaiah chapter 6, going up to the temple of God, finding the Lord. He comes in there one day, high and lifted up on this throne, full of glory. And Isaiah falls on his face. Listen, if you want to enjoy your sin, that's the last place you want to be. Right? You want to enjoy your sin. You want to get as far away from there as possible. You can't enjoy your sin. Can you imagine Isaiah trying to enjoy sin right there? You can't do it. Because everything inside Isaiah is crying out, woe is me, guilty, guilt. I mean, there's full sensitivity when you're in the presence of God. All the hardness has been blown away by this revelation of God. Suddenly he feels everything. Woe is me, I am unclean, I've got unclean lips, I dwell amongst these people. Everything is everything is coming clear to him. Full sensitivity. Everything's being stripped away. But you can't enjoy sin when you're sensitive to Jesus Christ's fiery presence burning. I mean, can you imagine a man trying to sleep with his neighbor's wife on a bed in the temple with Jesus up on the throne? Who's going to do that? Right? I mean, isn't that right? No one does that. Why not? I'll tell you why. Because the presence of God is very real. And a man feels. And so if a man wants to go and commit adultery, if a man wants to basically abandon his family or go out and steal he wants to live in all sorts of sensuality, then what he has to do is he has to harden his heart if he wants to enjoy that sin. When the heart is tender, it's soft, you just say you can't enjoy it. Because your heart and conscience are protesting. They're fearing. They're troubled the whole time. The sensitive heart quivers and shakes and feels the danger and guilt and embarrassment and remorse. That takes away all the pleasure, right? When your conscience is going, and you're like, when you feel like, I'm going to go to hell for this. I'm going to go to hell for this. For people who enjoy sin, they got to get away from that. They got to quiet the conscience. They got to harden the heart. They got to reject everything and suppress all this truth and become alienated to what can be known about God, to the life of God. They don't want to know. They want to pull back, get away. They want to shut that off, tone that down. Otherwise, it takes away. You can't have this thing screaming at you. Sin's no fun when that happens. So if you want to enjoy that kind of life, you have got to somehow silence that heart. That's the issue. You want sensuality? You want to enjoy it? Then you must put a hard casing around that heart. Every time it flares up, you must crush it. You must stomp it. Feeling sensitivity to any awareness of God or His judgments or what hell is, what He's like, what the gospel is for, what Christ is like. You need to harden, you need to stomp it, and you need to keep sinning. Every time you sin, it dulls it a little more. You have certain light, you seek to suppress it, you get a little harder. And at some point, I'll tell you this, the Bible's very clear. You harden yourself long enough, God will harden you too. He'll come alongside and He'll help you in the task. Brethren, it is a fearful thing when God takes up to harden a sinner. Brethren, even the atheist. The atheist who says there is no God. But you know what the problem is? As the Scripture says, eternity is written on our heart. There's some semblance, even broken as it is, of the law of God written on man's hearts. And so they gotta stomp it. They gotta quiet it. You know, people taken up with music, they gotta noise all the time, they gotta go drink, and they gotta do drugs. Why? Dull it, dull it, dull it. Harden it, harden it. Don't want to feel. I don't want to feel anything. The battle goes on within him, so the heart must be silenced. It must be hardened. And I'll tell you this, brethren, the terrible thing of it all is that men who cultivate hardness of heart find out in the end that they're really hard. I saw my stepdad. They gave him 3 months to live. Reading the newspaper, watching TV, just like he always did before. Nothing different, no changes, other than he knows he's dying. Brethren, I'll tell you this. It's terrible when man seeks to harden himself and in the end he finds out he's really hard. And at such a time as he'd like to repent, he'd like to weep, and he finds he can't. It's all gone. He has basically encased himself in an iron cage, and now when he would repent, he can't feel anything. And he knows, even when he stares death and hell in the face, he can just... hard as ever. Read the newspaper, watch the TV. Why? Because you harden yourself long enough, you really become hard. And it is a fearful thing, brethren. And because of that hard and impenitent heart, men are storing up the divine wrath of God. Brethren, we need to beware of this. Because here's the thing. That we be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And every time we sin, we get a little harder. Every time, isn't that what happens? I mean, basically, somebody sins, and the heart is reacting, it's sensitive. But then you stomp on it and you sin again. And a little less sensitivity. Stomp on it and sin again. And before you know it, I'll tell you, brethren, apostates don't happen in one step. And even those that are truly converted, you all of a sudden wake up one day and you find that you have drifted so far. How'd you get there? It comes by steps. You're not as meticulous. Well, I don't want to be legalistic. And sometimes in the name of not being legalistic, what we're really doing is toning down our sensitivity to the commandments of God and to living a life before Him where we're jumping at His voice, jumping at His Word, finding it in here. Yes, Lord, we want to be quick. We don't want to hesitate. We don't want to procrastinate. When we know something is right, we need to be sensitive to it. Brethren, don't cultivate hardness. Every time you repeat that sin, your heart troubles you a little bit less than it did the last time. That's hardness setting in. Don't do it. Brethren, you say, what in the world does this have to do with family? It has so much to do with it. You think a man walks away from his family, leaves his kids fatherless in one step? He has to harden himself. Mothers walking away from their children. If there's any affection in this world, naturally it is that. And yet, more and more, we find mothers who are willing to have their children killed right in their own womb. Brethren, you've got to harden yourself to get to that place. That goes against the very most natural affections of humankind for a mother to damage her child. Brethren, we don't want to grow insensitive and cold. Families. We want to work that. You want a good principle for raising your children? It's right there. Sensitivity. Train your children to obey immediately. Why? Because if you don't, what you're training them to do is harden their heart. And I guarantee they will do that. If you let your child disobey you and get away with it, and you're not setting up boundaries and standards and holding them to it, I'll guarantee you this, you are hardening their heart. Because every time they sin against you and your commandments, your rules that you lay down in the family, and you let them walk away with and no consequences, they basically, the hardness sets in. You are hardening your children's hearts. This idea of hardness has everything to do with family. Think about how our families would be healed if hardness goes away. Brethren, hardening our hearts against our wives, against our husbands, against our children, there's a hardness. We have to watch out. It creeps in. And I'll tell you this, you let a hardness creep into your heart towards your wife, you think you're going to waltz in here and it's all going to go away and you're not going to feel it? It's what I'm saying. Hardness is hardness and it will impact every bit of your life. How do I know that? The proverb says this, keep your heart with all vigilance or diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. You let it harden, every spring of life it's affecting. Everything. If everything flows out of your heart and you let your heart get hardened and the hardening process took place because, brethren, think about how it comes in. Not being grateful, not giving thanks, desensitivity in a very place where I ought to have a sense that I ought to be thankful. I harden myself. Don't thank. I'm talking to the Lord, to my wife, to whatever. Hard words, you know you're speaking in a way you ought not. It begins to set in a little more crust on the heart. Brethren, there are all sorts of things God wants us sensitive to. And we can harden. Brethren, you, for non-evangelistic purposes, running around with lost people, seeking fellowship and friendship with the lost, that hardens. Brethren, you spend time even around Christians who are walking loose, they're inconsistent, it can be a hardening thing. teaching others, but not living up to what you teach them yourself. Very hardening thing. Brethren, you know one of the things we become hard to? I remember what it was like when I was first walking as a Christian and just enjoying the smile of Christ. Brethren, we can become desensitized to when Christ hides His face. Before it would have been, what's happened? Where is He? We'd be on our face. I need to fast. I need to do this. I need to get Him back. Like old John Wesley of old, he was determined, I am going to pray until I find the face of my God. And we can lose that. We can become desensitized to it. Now all of a sudden we're walking through life and Christ hides His face and we're desensitized. It doesn't stir us up like it once did. Beware of that insensitivity. Brethren, things like movies, you start allowing profanity and filth on movies and exposure to sin and on the computer and on the television set, and before you know it, desensitized. Brethren, we need this, and I'll tell you, that proverb hits it on the head. It affects every flow of life. Your heart. Your heart. And it says, with vigilance, keep your heart. Vigilance, brethren. Watchfulness. Watch over it. Don't let this... Beware of talking lightly of sin. Laughing about it. Letting it into your life. Brethren, don't do it because tomorrow it's going to be a little bit easier. Brethren, the reluctance and hesitation of a Christian to dwell in God's presence is terrible. And it happens. Suddenly we're a little bit hardened. Going into His presence isn't so important. Why? Brethren, it's always that. We want our hearts soft, sensitive. Soft, sensitive hearts in families are they're not necessary. You don't get divorced where that is. You don't get people beating and abusing their children where that is. You don't get all the sexual perversion fathers are having with their daughters today where that is. Where we're sensitive. Sensitive to God, and that produces sensitivity towards one another. Brethren, sensitive hearts, sensitivity, Paul is saying, no longer be done with that hardness and callousness of heart. You see that? God help us to do so. You're dismissed.